Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City. And this is what we call Monday Life Class. And this is where we feature students and graduates of UOS or UOM. It's a time for us to get our questions answered, learn something from those who've gone through the university and have gone on to other things. It's a time for us all to share and to just be together. And whether you listen to it live or you listen to the archive listens, it doesn't matter. We're still learning at the same pace. Tonight, my guest is Michelle Sevico. And if I pronounce that wrong, please forgive me, Michelle. Dr. Michelle Sevico, and she will be talking about putting your passion into action. So, hello, Michelle.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. I am just going to turn off some things that I had going on and come back to you. But I am here, and I am excited about your topic, putting your passion into action, because I feel like with all of us, usually the ones who attend this university, a lot of us, this has become our passion, or it was our passion, and it's about taking that and putting it to action and practice is what I call it. So we're just going to go on and go with it. Maybe you can start by telling us again, and I think that some of the students probably haven't heard of you. You've been a guest before, but still tell us a little bit about yourself and your path to UOM or UOS.
Okay. Well, I am Michelle Sevico, and I found University of Metaphysics and the University of Sedona when I was feeling guided, actually being more summoned to explore ministry. And I'd spent a number of years already in exploring new thought, mostly in Unity, and but had quite a bit of a history, really, in it, growing up with a grandmother that was kind of based in theosophy. And I liked the broadness of it. I felt like going in this direction wasn't going to box me in at all. And even though I would refer to myself as a New Thought Christian, I'm very inclusive and pluralistic in what I do. So I needed something that was going to honor that and, you know, allow me a breath in metaphysics. Is just kind of an umbrella for all of the different things. So that was pretty much what led me there. And then when I read about the courses, the variety of things that were offered and stuff like that, that just really appealed to me.
That makes great sense, because I always like to know how people got guided to the university. It kind of helps all of us kind of know that usually it has been a path that's taken us there, and it's one of the steps along that path.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just go on and get into it. Putting your passion into action. What do you mean by that?
Well, many people have a passion and have a desire to live out that passion through the work that they're doing. And for us, it's how we choose to do ministry, what we do and who we serve. And sometimes we just take off and do it, and that may work for some, but generally it's helpful to have a mission and a vision, not just for your own clarity about what you do, but to communicate to others why you're in business and even where you expect to go with your business. Interestingly, when I was guided to go ahead and become a minister, I really didn't see how I was going to be using that, you know, in terms of having my own church or becoming the spiritual leader of a church and being committed to being someplace every Sunday and coming up with a talk every week and all of the other things that involved. and thought, well, since I'm being guided to do this, I'm going to go ahead and do it just as an opportunity for spiritual growth. And then, much to my surprise, after I completed it, I got this packet in the mail with minister reports to fill out. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do something. You know, so then I had to, you know, sit there and say, okay, well, what is it that I enjoy doing? What, you know, what are the different ways that I've been serving that I can go ahead and incorporate into this and actually build a ministry out of that? So putting your passion into action to me is, you know, getting clear on what your passion is, and then formulating your mission and vision and continuing with the process that goes along with that in order to live your mission and realize your vision. And, you know, I've found that most people do have a desire, if not all people, to be successful, but many don't achieve the level of success that they desire because they're focused on the destination rather than thinking about and taking the journey. So remember
that
this? Well, and there's a quote that, and it actually, I remember hearing it in a song as well, but I can't remember who it was that sang it. It might have been George Harrison. But the line was, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's always stuck with me, that it's important, you know, to have a vision so
right.
that you kind of can map out, you know, the same way if we want to go to Sedona and participate in a conference or a graduation, you need to know what your starting point is so that you can map out how you're going to get there. And you plan the steps that you're going to take along the way. So also your mindset is very important. I think it's important to have a positive attitude. It's very powerful. And it also, you know, sometimes we get bogged down when we have a
yeah.
little bit of setbacks or something that might be perceived by someone as a failure. It doesn't even need to be us. It may be somebody that's a friend or somebody close to us or just somebody else, but for some reason they're thinking that that wasn't successful, and we allow that to kind of put a damper on things. So having a positive attitude is also very important.
And I totally agree with all of those, that having that positive attitude and knowing and having a vision. What is your background in training? Knowing that you did probably attend either UOM or UAS, but tell us about that.
Yes. Well, I did. I went through the courses and got my bachelor's in metaphysics and ordination, and then I got my master's of metaphysical science and went on to get my doctor of philosophy specializing in pastoral counseling psychology. So, you know, one of the things that I became clear on was that I had, for 20 years at that point already, had been facilitating some classes, had been facilitating nurture groups, which are spiritual support groups that focus on nurturing each other, had also been asked to come and train. I was one of 30-something people that were accepted by what was then called the Association of Unity Churches. It's now Unity Worldwide Ministries, I believe. And but several years ago, 30-something of us were accepted to come out and do a train-the-trainer intensive, which gave us the capability then to go out into other churches and centers in our regions and teach people how to do small group ministry in those settings. And I had also, at that point, had my training with the Bell Institute of Nonprofits, and gone through that, which is how I learned how to help facilitate people and walk them through doing the missions and visions and goals and action steps and stuff like that. And but their model was intended to be used for businesses and nonprofits. But as I got further into spirituality and new thought, I expanded on it to give it a spiritual base using spiritual principles along with some other exercises to use it for churches or anyone that wanted to come from a spiritual place. So I had both of those things. And then I also, you know, part of doing spiritual support groups and small group ministry, there's a lot of prayer work that
yes.
you're usually called on to do and to support each other in. So, in fact, when I was trying to think of, you know, what I was going to do my dissertation on, what I ended up doing was going and looking at my pile of books. And seeing, you know, what is it that I do seem to focus a lot of attention on, and a lot of them had to do with prayer. And I thought, okay, this is kind of a duh. And, you know, so then I decided that's what I wanted to do, and I love psychology. And so that I decided to go in that direction. But I also do music. I write music. I perform music. I share it at some other churches and centers. So I also incorporated that into what I'm doing with ministry. And that's what my thesis was on, actually, was music for metaphysical services and the important part that they play in those services and setting the tone and healing that can take place and different instruments and stuff like that that are used.
So it just sounds like it's been a well-rounded circle of the knowledge you obtain to kind of help you into take that training into where you are now. So
mm-hmm.
even though you kind of went over that, how are you using all of it you learned and brought it forward to now? How are you using it?
Well, through my website, I have a variety of pages. So I'm, you know, and people can go and see exactly what I'm available for. But part of that is spiritual support. And I do that through spiritual mentoring, which working on the mission, vision, goals, and then any issues that come up regarding, you know, those things, because sometimes things come up in those. So we talk about those, and I may suggest some exercises. I'm happy to participate in any ceremonies for celebrating different milestones. My music ministry, as I said, and the prayer work. The one of the pages that I administer on Facebook is as a volunteer for Humanities Team. And we have a prayer, meditation, and intention request page that has, I think, 3,400 members.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that I do that I consider, you know, to be part of what I do as a minister. It's one of the ways that I serve and also get to support an organization that that I love and really believe in.
And she helps out people like us to mentor the next group coming on. So we want to say thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And sharing the knowledge of, because at a certain point when you're going into ministry, it's kind of like, okay, what am I going to do with this? And
mm-hmm.
you kind of answer that question about this is how, and it kind of evolves, it sounds like your ministry began to evolve when you, you know, as years went by, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
It did. And so, well, yeah, in fact, there was a time, because I was encouraged for a long time to apply to ministerial school. And even, like, at one point was at a conference, rooming with a minister friend, and we're in a room with a couple other ministers, and they're talking back and forth about, you know, when I'm going to be a minister. And I'm like, you know, and they're telling each other, well, you know, it's just a matter of time before she applies and becomes a minister. And I was like, people, I'm standing right here. Can hear you. Because they were acting like, oh, she's not even there. And but, yeah, it was definitely an idea that needed time to perk. It started as a whisper, you know, then I guess became a calling, but I still, you know, kept being like, really? Me? I don't think so. And mm-hmm. then at some point, it became a summons. And, you know, and it's kind of like when you're summoned to go appear in court and you don't have any choice, you better show up. That was
right.
kind of the same thing that I felt when I felt like I was summoned. It was like, okay, it's time. I don't have a choice at this point.
Well, I like that because I feel that call now, like, okay, now it's a summons. It was a whisper. It was something I've kind of ignored, and now it's like you have to do this and you have to go mm-hmm. for it. The passion is there, and I think that for a lot of people that's true. What is the difference for you for working with an individual versus a business versus a church? Describe that for us.
Okay, well, the difference is that sometimes an individual wants to take God, by whatever name you call your higher power, into partnership, either when creating their mission, vision, etc., or one for their business. And sometimes the nonprofit, if they're spiritually or religiously centered, will also want to form a partnership as well. But most times the business wants it to keep it general, and a church will want to do it in partnership. So, you know, there is some language in terms of when I'm doing it, which is at this point 100% of what I've been doing for the last several years has been spiritually based, where people, whether it's individually or through their businesses, or a nonprofit or a church, they are wanting to take God into the partnership. And coming from a spiritual place, they're open to different exercises that I might suggest, whether it's something that's going to help them gain clarity or an exercise to help overcome a challenge that's come up or, you know, or something like that.
Okay. Well, tell us about the putting the passion and the steps for putting your passion into action, and go into a little bit of detail about that.
Okay, now you have to remember when you tell me a little bit of detail.
I let you go for it in 10 words
what I can take 1,000 to say. So if I'm getting too wordy, just kind of break in here. But
I will. But you won't
okay.
be.
Well, starting with the, I realized, you know, when I was thinking about it, that there's actually a step before the step, you know, because usually I talk about you create your mission, then you develop your vision, but there is a step before the step when you're working with somebody that wants to come from that spiritually grounded base and is willing to take God into partnership. So, you know, what I do is ask that. And, you know, get the person to affirm that they do want to take God or, you know, as I said, whatever you call your higher power into partnership. And if so, then I do an affirmation that'll acknowledge that we're doing that and that we're going to be open and receptive to divine wisdom and guidance, knowing that God can't fail, so we can't fail. And then after we go through that, then we actually move to the first step, which is the mission. So mm-hmm. your mission is going to state why you're in business, why you do what you do, and ideally it'll be clearly communicated in approximately 12 to 14 words. You want it to be something that can easily be memorized. For example, mine is Michelle Savacco Ministries is a new thought ministry to inspire, empower, and entertain. And it's something that you can also communicate on your business cards, your website, or if you do have a church or you hold services, you can put it on your bulletins. In the mm-hmm. case of churches, often the mission is said by the congregation as a reminder. And use as an affirmation because it helps for it to be held in group consciousness. We know how that works.
Right.
And generally, your mission is going to set the tone for the rest, for your vision and then adding the goals and the action steps. And while it's reviewed every couple of years to make sure it's still valid, it will often last many years or even the length of time that you're in business. For example, I recently discovered just several weeks ago that a church that I facilitated the creation of their mission and guide them through the rest of the process for over 12 years ago is still using it. And when I thought about it, I thought, you know, they've had 3 changes in spiritual leaders since that time. The location of the church has changed 4 times. Their congregation size has at least tripled, if not quadrupled, and people have come and gone, and in some cases come back again. But each time that it's been reviewed, it's considered to still not just be valid, but to be a great mission. So although their vision may have changed, and they're constantly setting new goals that they come up with as their location changes and their needs change and stuff, and action steps change too, the mission is still staying the same. So once that's been clarified and you've got your mission, then your next step is your vision. And your vision reflects where you're going, where you see yourself and what you see yourself doing, and whatever time frame you establish. Some people have 2-year with an expanded 5-year plan. There's other people that like to use 7, especially people that are involved in metaphysics because of that spiritual metaphysical meaning of completion that's attached to the number. So using my ministry as an example, my vision is an inclusive metaphysical new thought ministry that celebrates diversity and embraces humanity through serving with peace and love. So I'm able to take everything that I do then, and if I have this idea of something different that I want to do, then I look back at my mission and my vision, and I say, how does this fit? And if it fits, then I know it's mine to do, or at least to explore. But if it's something that's outside of those things, then I know that as great as it sounds, that it's not mine to do.
That
so your vision, and that was something that I realized back, I had already gone through the training, and a friend and I had a shop up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at one point many years ago. And our vision was to have Victorian gifts, collectibles, and antiques. And so we would have a lot of distributors and salespeople that would come into the shop. We had gift shows that we went to look at new items. And, you know, one of the reasons that we had a shop was because we love shopping so much. And there was a lot of things that we liked. But if it didn't fit with our mission, then we knew as much as we liked them, those were not ours to do. So it works like that, whether you're working on your personal mission or you're working on your business mission. Your vision should be expansive. And a question that some people ask is, well, what's the difference of having a dream and having a vision?
Yeah.
And I did, a couple years ago, I was facilitating a church group in creating theirs and was asked that. And there's a quote by Carl Jung that speaks to this. Your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart.
Mm.
Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakens.
I
had tried my best at that time to try to explain what I thought was the difference. But when I came across that quote by Jung, I thought, well, that explains it perfectly.
It does.
So technically, a dream while it might communicate something of importance or relevance, it's still a series of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that are occurring involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep, whether you're actually asleep or you're just kind of daydreaming. A vision is the act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. It's an intelligent foresight. So your vision statement reminds you of what you want to build, what you want to create. And then regarding both the mission and vision, we're attracted to a lot of things, and there's so many things that we're interested in. So by having a mission and vision to focus on, they help keep us on track and focused.
That is so good and so powerful, too. Either with a business or your personal life, your ministry or whatever, it's a good way to make decisions and keep your direction clear.
Yeah,
really,
and
like
there's
it.
A lot of people that think about, you know, a mission and a vision and their goals when it comes to their business, and in our case, our business is our ministry, but don't think about doing that and having your own personal mission statement and your personal vision and your goals that go along with that. And I think that can also be very important.
I've always had a personal mission statement, and it's helped me with what jobs to pick or vocations. It's helped me with that. It has helped me with making personal decisions and even relationships, you know.
Yep.
Does that person or persons meet with where I'm trying to go?
Right, right.
So it helps with all of that. And that brings us to
so
the
after,
next question.
Well,
I'm sorry, go
after,
for it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was just going to say the next step in that process then is to determine your goals.
Because
that's what's going to be what it's going to take you to realize your vision and fulfill your mission. So like when you're listing your goals, they may include things like a well-equipped office, but it's not going to be by a stapler, because that would be one of your action steps that would go with your goal. So you have to be clear on, you know, what is a goal and what is a action step. It may be increase your client base by 100, but it won't just be get new clients, because you haven't addressed retention of old. And when you just say new clients, you want to have something that's really measurable. And while an increase of one would be an increase, in all probability, you want more than that. The same applies to people that are ministering in churches and, you know, building attendance. They're also going to want to have something that's measurable. And most times, prosperity is something that will end up showing up in there in the form of money. When money is an issue, then you know, we explore the relationship that the person has with money, see if there's anything that might be blocking a flow. Because sometimes, you know, in order to put the action steps to a goal, it takes money to do it. And
right.
They're like, okay, I need the money, but how do I generate this? So we look at any potential blocks that there might be and talk about exercises, spiritually based exercises, that people might do to increase the prosperity consciousness and prosperity through using those universal principles and truths. And then once you get all the goals down, then you have to add the action steps. Now, those are the steps that you'll take in order to achieve your goals. For example, you know, like I was saying, if you're trying to increase your client base or your service attendance, then you're going to have steps that you take for publicity, public relations, and things like that. Then we look at each of these steps and say, is this doable, or is there something I have to overcome? And if there is something that has to be overcome, then we explore the different ways that you may do that. And you know, those are things that I work with people on. And along the road, we also celebrate the successes. We don't just, you know, be looking for obstacles and how we're going to overcome them. There's a lot of successes that go along with it along the way, and we want to make sure we celebrate that too.
I think I have a caller, Michelle. I'm just going to see if they're – sometimes they just want to listen, and I let them, but I'm just going to check with the caller to see if they have a question, if that's okay with you.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Hello,
yes,
caller.
Yes.
Do you have a question for us? And maybe you could tell us just your first name.
Yes, my name is Joe, and I do have a question for your guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know how do you maintain your spiritual enthusiasm when you're processing your vision and you run against those inevitable stumbling blocks? Is there anything to look forward to or any way that you can overcome those momentary sidetracks in the road that seem to kind of deflate us from our goals?
Well, I would say, I mean, my first answer that was come to my mind is personally, I just go into denial, but I know that's not what you're looking for. And I just remember that I am in partnership with God. And because God can't fail, I can't fail. So I just do my best to stay focused. I remain open and receptive to the guidance and wisdom that I'm receiving. I understand that, you know, sometimes there seems to be little setbacks. But at the same time, I also remembered that no matter how big the window is that I'm looking through, I'm still limited in what I know about what's going on. And so it goes back to trust for me and faith and just knowing that all things are working together for my good, that my job is just to continue to stay focused, to keep doing the steps, but at the same time, not be so attached to something. You know, when we're taking spirit in partnership like that, part of that is leaving that space for God or Spirit to work in our lives. And so we don't etch things in stone so that no matter what, we're going to get this done because God might have a bigger plan. And if that is the case and you start feeling guided into another direction or into doing something differently, then, you know, follow that intuition. Follow that divine wisdom that's within you and do those things.
I see. Well, thank you very much. And do you...
Did it answer your question?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes I get so focused on wanting to accomplish something that I don't leave that room open. And that was a
mm-hmm.
good point, you know, mm-hmm. that... that the path may have many twists and turns that you're going to. And do you give spiritual messages online by email? Will you accept those if someone emails you?
For people that are looking for mentoring or prayer
yes.
requests? And
yes.
I do. I have a lot of people that message me through Facebook. You can just look up my name and do it like that. You can also go to my website, which is NC, the abbreviation for North Carolina, New Thought Minister, all one word, .net, and you'll find links on the website so that you can contact me with any questions or anything that you need support in.
Okay, that was .net?
Yes.
Okay.
And thank you for asking that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, for calling. We appreciate your call.
I'll be listening. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that was awesome to have a caller.
Yeah.
And I just going in, we were talking about your passion. You know, a lot of people talk about purpose. What do you feel like is the difference between passion and purpose?
Okay. Well, I do think that they're different. Your purpose, I think by definition, is something that you want to attain.
Mm-hmm.
For most of us, living with purpose is how we desire to live. But I think of passion as being the feeling behind it. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, and I like the way you put that. And
yes,
then
when I think of passion, I think of feeling, and I am a very feeling based person. There's a lot of information out there about how our thoughts are things and how we create through the power of our thought, all of which I do believe. But I also think that there are other things that work along with that. And one of those things is feeling, because we have these thoughts, and then from the thought, the feeling comes. And then depending on what our feeling is going to depend what we're going to say or not say, what we're going to do or not do. So feeling is also a big part of it. And I think in order to really be divinely aligned, that you have to have all of these things working together. So, for example, when you are working on living out your mission and fulfilling your vision, you want to make sure that the things that you've planned in terms of your goals and your action steps, that, you've had the thought, this is what's mine to do. You have a feeling that goes along with that. And then you want to make sure that whatever you're saying and whatever you're doing is also supporting those things. And you want to surround yourself by people that also are going to support you at the soul level and believe those things with you.
Ooh, I think you really explained that well. And I just was thinking, is there a place, because they are different, and I like how you describe one as being more of a feeling, but is there a place where passion and purpose kind of intersect or meet?
Well, I think for us as ministers, our passion has met our purpose when we take those things that we love and are guided to, or figure out how to use those things in service to other. Because I think at the core of what we're doing as ministers, regardless of what direction we're going in with it, at the core of that is that desire to serve, and and to be an expression of love, and things like that, so I think our passion has intersected our purpose at that point. Once we, kind of surrender and say, okay, I give in to the summons. Here I am, Lord, which is one of my favorite songs. But
yes, I surrender. I surrender all. Yeah, you kind of get to that point. And then as students of metaphysics, for many of us, the metaphysical spirituality is our passion. And how do we, and you've kind of gone over some things, organize our knowledge base and then put it into practice? And basically, you've kind of already answered that, but do you have any other thoughts or anything on that?
Well, just that to remember that it may take a bit of time to discern what the thing or things are that you want to focus on. For some, they know right away, because of the work that you've already been doing, and you're clear about what you want to do to serve. And for others, they just know that they've got this hankering to serve and aren't really clear on what that's going to look like. And as I wasn't, and just had to kind of get comfortable with the unknown and say, okay, well, for now I know what mine to do is to go ahead and proceed with school and to go through those things, and just trust that when the time comes and the time is right for me, when I'm ready for it, that it's going to be revealed. And then, all of a sudden it was just like, well, yeah, you're just going to take those things that you've been doing, basically, and that's going to, consolidate them all, and that's going to become your ministries.
And again, I like that because there are points when you have to. This is the first step. You just have to think through this instead of, you know, going way beyond that. Finish the step, and then the next will show.
Right.
So I really like that.
And you know, when you have your goals and your action steps too, because these, you know, even though I wasn't working on a mission and vision for my ministry at that time, I was still looking at my goals and action steps in terms of completing my education, getting my ordination, and doing the graduate work and stuff. So I had goals and action steps that went along with that too. And so whether it's your personal or it's your business, you do want to have a time frame established. And after you list your goals, you're going to want to prioritize them. And the same thing with the action steps, because that helps you to keep your focus. But like I was telling Joe, remember, they're not etched in stone. Things come up, changes and adjustments have to be made. And that's okay, because like I was telling him, since you've taken God into partnership, you understand that it's all unfolding in divine order. Your job is just to keep doing your part. Mm. And another thing that's really important that some people don't think about is that, you know, we realize that time was something that man made, you know, for their convenience. And by this standard, there's only so many hours in the day and so many hours that you want to be working, because we also know the importance of maintaining our balance.
Right.
But like recently in working with somebody, they were talking about how they wanted to do 10 blog posts in 30 days and write 7 articles in 6 weeks. And they wanted to do this in cycles on an ongoing basis.
Wow.
So while we were talking about it, I did the math, and it came out to one post every 3 days, and in less than a week, they had to churn out an article. So I told them, I don't know what your process is in creating the posts and writing the articles, but is this really doable, especially when you add it to the other things that you have on your list? Then I suggested that they take all the things, because they had written out a lot of goals and a lot of action steps, and we had even started on the prioritizing, where things would be broken into different segments. But I said, take these things and, you know, figure out how much time approximately you think each of these tasks are going to take, and see if you really have enough time in the day. When they started doing it, they were kind of calculating as we were speaking on the phone, and they realized that even if they worked nonstop, they couldn't accomplish everything. So then the prioritizing really began. Because, you know, and sometimes prioritizing comes easily, because one step has to be completed before you go to the next. And sometimes it's more difficult, just depending on, you know, what's taken for it. But it's easiest if things are broken down into like 1 to 3 months, 3 to 6, 6 to 12, 1 to 2 years, and proceed from there, because that gives you an opportunity to celebrate those small successes along the way. And I had also discovered, which I've shared with my friends on Facebook, that I spent many years writing my to-do lists every day. I did it for a couple reasons. First, they gave me a sense of accomplishment as I crossed things off. I was like, yeah, wow, I really had a productive day today. And secondly, at some point I also realized if I didn't write them down, I was going to forget what I was supposed to be doing. But at some point, like, and you may have experienced this too, do you ever make a list of things that you wanted to do, and when you look at it at the end of the day, you realize you planned and God laughed, because
right.
you didn't hardly get anything done on your list. You did all these other things instead, but they were, you know, good things, important things. So I ended up where I came up with this thing, because it was like I really wanted to stay in the flow. And I felt like if I'm being guided to do something or somebody's calling on me for something and I don't respond, I'm kind of going against the flow there. So I had this little aha and decided that instead of having a to-do list, I would simply have a do list, with the do being in capital letters, standing for divine order. So now I still do my list, but I trust that if I haven't gotten it done on schedule, that, you know, it's okay. It was in divine order. I planned. God had other plans. And since I've done that, there really isn't anything that I've needed to get done that hasn't gotten done. So remember, when you are planning your times, again, they're not etched in stone. It's always important to stay flexible.
Well, that is really important, because some things just come up during the day or the year or whatever that if you're etched in stone kind of person, that you kind of don't flow with whatever. Sometimes a blessing even comes unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and by taking things as they come, rather than focusing on the destination, and this is true, I think, for life as well as working on your mission and vision and goals and those things, but when you focus on your journey rather than the destination, you get the satisfaction from your progress, and essentially you're taking the time to smell the flowers as you go through the process, rather than just saying so focused on your destination that you're missing all the life that's happening, you know, along the way.
Which is so important, and pretty much a good place to end, because it really has helped us see how to focus, how to develop a mission statement, where to take ourselves personally, individually, and our ministries. So much knowledge. I even took notes.
Oh, good.
And we'll listen to the program again so I can get some good information more.
Well, and one thing that I did want to point out, like you mentioned that you're taking notes. I think it's important that people remember that rarely do you get that old, that smart, or have that much experience that you don't need somebody to mentor you. Don't be afraid to step out of the box, your comfort zone, And when I was thinking about that a little earlier, I thought, well, maybe I should say boat. And as a New Thought Christian, I often refer to examples from the Bible. And the one that comes to mind with a little metaphysical twist is that when Peter stepped out of the boat, which was his comfort zone, he reached out to Jesus, who I'm going to call his mentor for this purpose. He missed it because instead of continuing to look straight ahead, moving forward, he looked down and temporarily lost his vision. So during those times, if you happen to have a time like that, when you have a mentor and you have people that you've surrounded yourself with that support you at the soul level, and you have trouble keeping your vision, you know that there's others that are supporting you. And that just, you know, always instantly makes you feel better knowing that.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And I've just kind of just took you in and adopted you as the mentor. That's why I have you in the program so much. And I like to share these people with the rest of the student body as we go along, the graduates who have paved the way for us. And just really like to thank you for sharing. I really, really appreciate your sharing whenever I call.
Pleasure. And like I said, if anybody has any questions about the process or is interested in working with me on it, you can just send a message through Facebook or through my website.
Well, once again, I just want to tell you thank you. You know you're welcome anytime.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate this program that you have and how you're serving in this way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I just hope, and I know because I'm getting more and more listens, I want to thank the student body for listening in, and it is just about us all, you know, moving up, doing what we do to change the world, to make it a better place. And I know that sounds real utopic, but basically that is how I feel about it. So
me too.
Information that we all need to move ahead. So thank you, Michelle. This is the end of the program. Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is Soul in the City. This is Monday's Life Class. Be blessed because you are. Because God is, you are. And you are everything. You are marvelous. You're exciting. And we are the world changers of the world. Know that, believe that, and be that. This is Soul in the City. Thank you and good night.